I'd like to welcome everybody to Jenkins Church this Sunday morning. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? Is this your friend? You want to introduce him?
Kale.
Nice to have you this morning. Anybody else? First-time visitors? Well, welcome, Kale, and welcome to everybody else. Have the attendance registers been distributed yet? They're about to be, so everybody please be sure and register your attendance. And when you're signing, please be sure and indicate that you are at the 8 a.m. Let everybody know you're the early risers this morning. Okay, we've got a lot of announcements in the bulletin, and to start off, I think... Sonia's wanting to make an announcement. Okay, so she's sending that sign up around, so when it comes to you, just please sign up and pass it on. The women's ministry will meet this Tuesday night. Yes, Tuesday night. And they're actually, I guess, going to have dinner at Las Palmas. So. Also, just a reminder, next Saturday is the Broken Wheel Festival up at the Nolensville Recreation Center. We've got a lot of great things going on, and if you want to eat well that day, Steve and Susan will be up there doing their barbecue. So if you come up for nothing else, come for the barbecue. Come early, they do sell out. Operation Christmas Child, we know Elizabeth did an announcement on that a while back. Do we have the brochures on that? If you've never participated in that, it is a great thing and it is very fulfilling. So to provide a Christmas and items to kids who otherwise would not have anything. Sherry, do you have an announcement? We never lack for around here is good food. So, are there any other announcements? All right, prayer and praise requests. Prayer or praise request. pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God. Our call to worship this morning can be found in the bulletin, and it is responsive. Sing for joy to God, our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the tambourine. Play the melodious harp and lyre. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you, if you would but listen to me, O Israel. You shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my way, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. And they would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 97. 97 is the correct number.
Let us bow for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we've read from Your Word and been called to worship by it, called to hear Your Word. And in that Word we read where the people Israel would not listen. Lord, we want to be better than that. We want to hear Your call and we want to respond. And Lord, we have heard this morning, and that, Lord, we have come to this Your place, and now we come to offer praise and adoration to You. Thank You for this opportunity. Thank You for voices with which to sing, instruments on which to make a joyful sound to You. And thank You, Lord, that we can come and fellowship one with another and enjoy the company of Your people under Your heavenly guidance and under Your blessing. But most especially, O Lord, we thank You for Your presence with us. You have promised to come and dwell among Your people when they meet in Your name. And we have come that way today. Lord, speak to us. Touch us. Motivate us. Prepare us for the world that we will go back into. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing, and Tim will lead us in our creed, our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Holy Spirit, and produce in us the fruits of holiness, and of righteousness pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Our assurance of forgiveness is from Psalm chapter 103, verses 11 and 12. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Jesus said, let's sing 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
Let us pray. Lord God, you have loved us like no one else could ever love us. Loved us enough to send your Son to die for us. Another place your Son said, Lord, that greater love hath no man than this, that a person lay down his life for his friend. But then we read that Jesus laid down his life while we were still in it. He did it to make us friends. And thank you, Lord, for your great gift to us. We see it as the ultimate gift. And now, Lord, we return a portion of what we have to spread the gospel. Materials that you have blessed us with as we recognize that all comes from you. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of returning a portion. Now, Lord, we pray your direction in their use, that it would be to your honor and glory. Amen.
Please be seated. Louise, Teresa, Sam, and Steve, and Bill and Lewis would come and assist, please. Hear these words concerning the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So this morning we come remembering and proclaiming. Remembering his death and proclaiming it to each other. Maybe proclaiming it again to ourselves that Christ died for us. Paid the penalty of our sin. Because he's paid the penalty for it, we have eternal life with him. Our sins, we can claim the forgiveness for our sins. This is the Lord's table, and he invites you who are trusting in him to eat from it and drink from it, remembering his great sacrifice, his great expression of love for you. Lord God, thank you for forgiveness. And thank you for this opportunity to remember that Jesus offered his body to pay for our wrong, knowing we know, Lord, that he had no sin of his own. But he paid for ours, because our sins were many, are many. As we eat this bread, Lord, we just eat it humbly, in great appreciation for your gift of your Son to die for us, that we might know forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you. And bless this simple piece of bread that each of us will partake of. Make it for us that broken body of Christ. Amen. Body of Christ broken for you. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we remember how Jesus' blood was shed. Lord, we know that your word tells us that through the shed blood, our lives are made clean when we put our faith in that blood and the one who shed it, your Son, that you sent to be our Savior. Bless this cup, Lord, this fruit of the vine, let this be for us the cleansing blood of Jesus. Thank you for it. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you for the remission of your sins. Please serve the people. People, eat and drink, remembering how much God loves you.
You may join me singing the song Above All Powers.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all.
There's no way to measure what you're like.
Thank you.
I believe that these passages point out the importance of being evangelists. And for the next few weeks, I plan to attempt to challenge us and motivate us with the help of the Holy Spirit. If He doesn't move within us, all of my efforts will be useless. I know that. Very much aware of it. Hope we can challenge you and that the Holy Spirit will motivate you. And the Holy Spirit has to do the challenging too. To become more evangelistic. That we've become more willing, more prepared, more adept at sharing the good news of Jesus and the salvation that He offers. The role of the church is to lead people to Jesus. Jesus, who is the Christ. Christ is a title, not part of His name. We often refer to Him as Jesus Christ. But Jesus, who is the Christ. The Christ, what is that? That's Greek for Savior. The Hebrew word is Messiah. These Hebrew people, the Jewish people, were looking for a Messiah. And Jesus came. And the Greek word, the Christ, English Savior. People need the Lord. People need a Savior. It's our purpose to lead people to Jesus so that He, Jesus, may save them. We cannot save anyone, but we can introduce people to Jesus and allow Him to save them. We can lead them to Jesus, introduce them to Jesus, and then He reveals Himself to them and moves in their life in such a way that they can trust Him as their Lord, as their Savior. The chief end of man is to glorify God. And part of that statement is to enjoy Him forever. Not be fearful of Him. Not cringe before Him. But enjoy Him. Enjoy being in His presence. Enjoy His Word and all about Him. And the best way that we can bring glory to God is by leading people to a salvation experience. Leading them to Jesus where that they might meet Him and trust Him and be saved. Might believe in Him. It brings joy in heaven. Somebody pointed out once,
I read that the only place in the Bible,
and I haven't found any others,
only place in the Bible where it talks about bringing joy in heaven
was in Luke chapter 15, where it says, one lost sheep brings joy to the owner of the sheep, the shepherd. And it goes on to say, Jesus is telling this parable about the importance of searching for lost sheep. And he goes on to say that there's joy in heaven like a shepherd who finds his lost sheep. There's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and comes to believe in the Word and obey the Word or become a follower of Jesus. Also, the lost coin. The woman lost her coin. She tore up the house. She searched all over it to find that lost coin. And when she found it, she invited her friends in to rejoice with her, to celebrate. It was a time of great rejoicing. And Jesus goes on to say at the end of that parable that there's like, that's like the joy in heaven over one sinner who comes to God. In Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verse 11, the parable of the lost son who comes home. The lost son represents lost man. The father that he comes home to represents God. And there was great rejoicing with the father. Great happiness. Jesus didn't particularly say it concerning the lost son. He had to deal with the jealous son. In that story, the father did. But we can believe that there, like the lost son that came home to a loving, welcoming father and was restored in fellowship in the family to the father, there was rejoicing in that house. If that's representative of heaven, we know that God is rejoicing and happy when one of his dead children is brought to life, spiritually dead, is made alive through Jesus Christ. Our orders are to go and be evangelists. You find it in Mark 16, 15 through 16. Mark 15 and 16. Jesus is about to depart. This is Mark's version. And he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And we don't decide. People decide whether they will believe or whether they will turn a deaf ear to the good news of Jesus. Matthew 28, that's the one we often refer to, most often refer to as the Great Commission. The same message. Go and make disciples. Teaching. Go and make disciples. Teaching them how to live as Christian disciples. Baptizing them. Setting them apart. Marking them as God's people. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And then in Luke 24, 45 through 48. You can go and read these, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they're remembrance of what Jesus said. They read just a little bit different, but the same basic message is there. Go. You disciples, go. It's a message to disciples today to go. Go and make more disciples. Go and share the gospel. We glorify God when we obey His word. These are the words of Jesus. God in the flesh, if you will. God who had at this point already died, been buried, and rose from death, having paid the penalty of sin, penalty that we owed, He paid the penalty for us, or He paid the debt for us. We know what we are called to do, but we get sidetracked. You ever feel that? We get sidetracked. How do we get sidetracked? Well, we just do. So many things sidetrack us. And in just a moment, we will deal with them. But before we get there, why evangelize? Why evangelize? Why tell the good news of Jesus? What does it matter, or does it matter, if we know Jesus as our Savior? Does it matter if we go to our death guilty of all of our sin? Or even guilty of any of our sin? Does it make any difference? Oh, it does. Oh, it does. After the fall, what fall, you say? The fall, the spiritual fall of mankind. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were cast out of the garden of Eden, that perfect place, after they disobeyed God, mankind has been estranged from God, separated from God, alienated from God, even fearful of God because they're guilty before God, and we have disobeyed God, and so we feel estranged from God. And when man was alienated, or became alienated from God, estranged from God, through the acts of Adam and Eve, man did not stop there, but continued in a downward spiral, if you will, a spiritually downward spiral. Until 6 chapters later in Genesis, God destroyed all of mankind except 8 people. Noah and his family. Man became estranged from God at the fall, or after the fall. After the fall, we are estranged from God. And finally, man got so estranged and so sinful that he destroyed everybody but 8 people, and wanting to start over. But even they had some problems, those who started over. And man is still alienated from God. We are alienated from God, or were before we trusted Jesus. Alienated from God. Separated from Him. We are alienated by our sinful nature that we inherited from Adam, or Noah, and his children. And we're alienated by acting on that sinful nature, or by our own sin. We're alienated by nature, by our nature, and we're alienated by our action. And the Apostle Paul gave us some details. He's going to get some details about this alienation that we live under. Read Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And he talks about through one man, through Adam, sin entered into the world. But he goes on to say the good news is that through Jesus Christ, that sin is covered for those who will believe in Jesus. Trust in Him. Make Him their Lord
and Savior. Not only sin entered into, but death. Spiritual death. As well as physical death. And Jesus. And you can read this in Romans 5 as well as many other places. But Jesus is the one that takes us back to God, gets us back to God. And that's the message. Jesus, He is the message of our evangelism. So man is sinful and separated from God. God sent Jesus to call us back unto Himself, if you want to put it that way. It's a good way to put it. The right way to put it. Jesus brings us back. And that's the story that evangelists are called to tell. Simple story. Jesus will save you from your sin. Jesus will forgive you from your sin. Trust in Jesus as your Savior. We can talk about the communion experience we had at church. Today, we can go away from here and say, we ate the bread remembering that Jesus died for our sin, gave His body. We drank of the cup remembering that His blood was shed for the remission of our sin, for the forgiveness of our sin. Now, your outline in your bulletin, your insert this morning, I determined very early in the preparation that we would not get through that today. So we'll kind of get an introduction to evangelism today. Let's just tell you that. And we'll hope to follow up later. We have not been doing a lot of evangelizing at Jenkins Church, have we? We've been busy. But we haven't been doing much evangelizing. We get wrapped up in other things. We get wrapped up in Christian education, and we're taught to educate, to teach those who have been evangelized. Teach them all the things that Jesus taught us. Teach the apostles' doctrine. The early church got involved in that, but they kept on evangelizing. We're to nurture those who are new to the faith. We're to help them grow. And if you don't nurture a new baby, the baby dies. And if we don't nurture new Christians, new believers, they die. But we've been very involved in nurturing people. We've been quite involved in Christian education in many ways with Sunday school. We put a lot of emphasis on Sunday school. We've been putting a lot of emphasis on camps. And we put a lot of emphasis on retreats. Worship. We've been doing, I think you keep coming at least, we've been doing a very acceptable job to provide worship experiences for those who do believe. And hopefully through the worship experience, if non-believers come, they will come to believe through the worship experience. 3 services a week, 2 Sunday morning and 1 on Wednesday night. And what a blessing it was this past Wednesday night. I'll mention that again. Fellowship. We talked about fellowship and the importance of fellowship, and we've done a really good job on parts of fellowship. Fundraisers. I just heard this morning. This was added. This is fresh, friends. This was added this morning as we made the announcements. What were all the announcements about? And it's just, I don't mean this to be fussy, but it might need to be fussy. All the announcements were about fundraisers to help other people. Yeah, part of them are, but still, we're doing parts. We're doing help to the physical body. Even the carnival is to outreach to other people in physical means more than we are evangelism. The bazaar, we're going to use that money to pay on the building, and we need it. Yes, that's part of the life of this church, has been have bazaars and barbecues to help raise funds to pay the building payment. We've always known we could have that. And it's been a very important part of this church. The Christmas child that the CPW is working at, hopefully that will give people who deliver them an opportunity to tell about Jesus. But really, locally, we're not doing a lot there. The bazaar, the barbecue, the Christmas Chow, those were mentioned this morning. And I encourage every one of them, or all of them. They're good. They're great. But maybe we need to think about some evangelizing. General Assembly this year, at the urging of one of my good friends, Don Wynn, over at, I think it's at Mount Liberty Church near Charlotte now, urged the General Assembly's Board of Missions to put an emphasis on evangelism. The Lord has laid on his heart so heavy that we must evangelize. And he's laid on his heart that he must teach his people in his church to evangelize. One more point. And this will just be an introduction. Jesus chastised the church at Ephesus for leaving their first love. And I asked somebody this week, another preacher of another denomination, what was the first love? I tried to preach on the first love. It's in Revelation chapter 2. And I asked another preacher, I said, just what was the first love that Jesus chastised the Ephesian church for leaving? And he said, God's Word. And some said he left Jesus. And that's the Word incarnate. So this guy was right on track. The church at Ephesus, if you read about it in the book of Acts, where Paul was ministering to it, and you read the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and then if you read about the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2, one of the seven churches of Asia, you will find out that the Ephesian church was one of the busiest churches. They were hard-working people. They were active for the Lord and for the church. They persevered through tough times, it says. They did not tolerate wickedness in their church. A wicked person would come into the church, they would observe him, and if he was acting wickedly, out of there. They were straight line people. They were true to the Word. They made sure that those who claimed to be apostles really were apostles. And there was a way to figure it out. They had this formula they went by. That's in verse 3. Revelation 2, verse 2 and 3 and 4. And I invite you to just go read verse 4. But you have left your first love. Now, there may be some question about what their first love was. Was it left Jesus? Left God? Now, may have to twist the Scripture just a little bit. I still remember how the Scripture, even when it was twisted. I quit smoking over a twisted Scripture sermon. This preacher came and read a Scripture and twisted it all a way around, seemed to me like. 3 days later, it captured me. So if I twisted this a little bit, maybe it'll capture you too. It's captured me anyway. So, what I'm asking, not being sure, I'm not sure about what the first love was. But if our first priority as a church is evangelism, telling the unsaved about Jesus, have we left our first love? Now we're going to sing that song, 299. And it's Rescue the Perishing. And then we're going to stop right there. And we're going to talk about being evangelists next week. You'll stay with me. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Let's stand together and sing. evangelist in and through Deacon's Church. In and through Deacon's Church, sharing Jesus as the Savior. Pray about me being able to share Jesus better in and through Deacon's Church, out in this community. And then if God lays it on your heart, some name, if you can't go to them, you probably have a friend that would go to them, a fellow church member, a fellow Christian, who might go to someone that God has laid on your heart and share the good news of Jesus and salvation through Him. Let's think about it. Let's pray about it. And if God is leading you to be an evangelist like you've never been before, offer yourself. Make yourself available for some help if you need it. Lord God, send us forth, being your people, sharing you, as you have told us that it's our first priority. In His name, the name of Jesus.
other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others,
I'm going fishing.
We will come with you, they told him. So they went out in the